This is The Efficiency Point, a podcast from Modern Pumping Today magazine. I'm MPT editor Jay Campbell, along with our producer Richard Council. You can find us online at mptmag.com, and please rate, review, and subscribe to the show on any of your favorite podcast apps. On today's episode, we speak with Envirotech's Jacqueline Wilson, whose company has introduced an innovative line of Peregrine products, which use peracetic acid as a greener alternative than traditional chlorine in wastewater disinfectant. But first, let's take a look at some headlines. I have three stories I'd like to share with us today, Richard. The first one comes from the University of Southern California's Engineering Department. Go Trojans. Aaron, do you know the USC Trojans, Richard?
I know of them, yeah.
Yeah, so here we are. So sorry to all of our UCLA Bruins fans, but the Trojans are doing some good work. Researchers at USC have discovered that ozonation in wastewater treatment processes has been found to convert chemicals present in the water to chlorpicrin. And if you're not familiar with chlorpicrin, that can lead to a toxic side effect in wastewater treatment. Among their key findings, which were published this month in the journal Environmental Science and Technology, was that wastewater reuse treatment processes, and those are a big thing out on the West Coast because of salination on one side with the Pacific Ocean, and then miles and miles and miles of desert on the other side. On wastewater reuse treatment, the processes use ozonation, which is adding the chemical compound ozone to municipal and industrial wastewater to disinfect drinking water and make it potable, have been found to create nitromethane. And nitromethane is a chemical used in dry cleaning. And Richard, would you like to guess what the other well-known use of nitromethane is?
It sounds explosive, and so I'm going to assume that it's something explosive.
You're very correct. It has nitromethane is used in drag racing. So if you've ever heard of nitro-fueled funny cars, which some listeners may know and some of our coworkers know, I attended the University of Florida for graduate school, and that is the home of the drag racing competition known as Gator Nationals. So I have seen Gator Nationals up live. I have smelled the burning nitro in the air. So nitromethane is no joke.
So nitromethane, is that used in all like racing fuel, like Formula One, and or is it just drag racing?
That is beyond my scope of knowledge. I will defer to the quality researchers at the University of Southern California, and also the multi-generational drag racing families at Gator Nationals to answer that question.
We'll look it up and put it in the description.
Oh, yeah. We'll add that to the show notes. Yeah. Maybe we'll put a link to Gator Nationals in the show notes, too, if they're still doing that. That was many years ago. But even though nitromethane is very dangerous on its own, when it interacts with chlorine in an attempt to make treated wastewater potable for drinking, it results in the formation of chlorpicrin, which is even more toxic. According to the research report, the results are predicated on the idea that nitromethane persists at a particle level in all wastewater treatment processes, and that's very likely since ozonation as a process does not focus on breaking down nitromethane during treatment. A highly toxic compound, chlorpicrin, is currently unregulated, but it has been studied as a disinfection byproduct in drinking water since the 1980s. Very little progress has been made in identifying its precursors and formation until this research report just now coming out of the West Coast. A link to the USC report can be found in the show notes for this episode. And our second story of the headlines, moving from the science end to the business side of wastewater treatment, Market Data Forecast has released a 5-year projection for the North American wastewater treatment service market. According to them, the North American wastewater treatment market is estimated to rise at a considerable compound annual growth rate through the foreseen period until 2025. The Journal of Environment Management recently published a study on absorption of textile dyes employing activated carbon and cross-linked polyvinyl phosphoric acid composites, and it was found that the composite obtained from activated carbon and polyelectrite is treating the wastewater and enhancing its quality. So there is movement in the market, even though there are still problems that we're looking on. Another aspect of the report talks about the treatment services in the market as its drivers and its restraints, the scarcity of drinking water, as we mentioned earlier, in the West Coast has resulted in the call for clean and pure water, both in the domestic market and around the world. Several of the diseases that are being treated now, you hear a lot about coronavirus in the news lately. As far as we know, that has nothing to do with wastewater treatment. They're saying that it is contact-borne, so that's good news. But there are waterborne illnesses that are out there and are being currently focused on to be eliminated to create clean drinking water, both in domestic markets. You know, we've talked about with a previous guest on the podcast, about a lot of the aging infrastructure and old pipe systems, Flint, Michigan being the most famous one that was in the news. But that is a far-reaching problem that still hasn't been addressed as widely as it can be. So there's a lot of opportunity for new treatment processes being applied in those. If you're interested in reading the full market research report, we'll provide a link for that in the show notes. And our last headline today, we're heading into the theaters, Richard. It's movie time. WEF, the Water Environment Federation, has partnered with several leading companies in the water sector to produce a new documentary that paints an optimistic picture of how humanity is adapting to new technologies and innovations and rethinking how we manage our global water supply. The film, Brave Blue World, follows the story of Paul O'Callaghan, a water industry expert and the CEO of Blue Tech Research, as he visits sites around the world that are employing novel ways of tackling existing water problems. This documentary challenges some of our commonly held assumptions and changes how you might think about water. It also includes some celebrity cameos in addition to, you know, the celebrities on our end are guys like Paul O'Callaghan. Yeah, that's who we're interested in. But, you know, some of you may not be so focused on water treatment. You know, you might care for people like, I don't know, Matt Damon or Jaden Smith. You know, if that scratches your itch. But for me, the big star is the water experts. And we have a clip. So, Richard, set up that clip for us and let's take a listen.
Water is viewed as a global issue because it affects everybody on the planet, but really at its heart it's a local issue because we have to deal with it city by city, town by town. If you want to find change, you have to look to the margins, and the solutions are there because wherever there's a challenge, the human spirit forces us to try and solve that problem. We're always, that spirit of hope and optimism is there, that we're constantly trying to solve problems, and people are solving those problems all over the world where the needs are the most dire. And if we look there, that's where you see the clues and the glimpses into the future.
A trailer for the film and information on how to host an educational showing of the documentary can be found online at www.braveblue.world. Based in Modesto, California, Envirotech Chemical Services made its mark in the food processing industry, but is now expanding into wastewater treatment with its Peregrine products, which use peracetic acid formulations for wastewater disinfection. Peracetic acid, or PAA, is becoming known as a greener alternative to chlorine among wastewater treatment plant operators. Jacqueline Wilson, Technical Sales Manager with Envirotech, joins us today to tell us more. Good afternoon, Jackie.
Hi, how are you, Jay?
Doing very well. So, how long have you been working with Envirotech?
I've been working with Envirotech for the last 3 years, specializing in the use of peracetic acid for wastewater disinfection.
And what can you tell us about the Peregrine products and how they're being used for wastewater treatment?
Well, we offer two different Peregrine products. One is a 15% solution and the other is a 22% solution. They're both very reactive chemicals. 22% offers a little bit better reactivity in the wastewater industry specifically. They're both used predominantly in secondary wastewater plants, but are also used throughout the country in CSOs, SSOs, bypass and redirect applications as well. Peracetic acid is fairly common, or is becoming fairly common, as an alternative disinfectant because it doesn't form any harmful byproducts or any trihalomethanes because there is no halogen within the product itself. Functionally, it's very similar to chlorine products that are readily available in the industry already, as it is also an oxidizer, and performs very similarly. The greatest benefits to PAA are that it's a non-persistent chemical. It doesn't form those DPBs. And dosages tend to be within the range of 1.5 parts per million to 3 parts per million in secondary systems.
If I were operating a wastewater treatment facility, what obstacles would stop me from introducing PAA now instead of chlorine, or are there any obstacles at all?
For the most part, there are very few obstacles. The biggest thing that I've noticed is if you have any reducing agents that are coming in from in the background of your wastewater, that can produce a high demand on the parasitic acid, causing a economic unfeasibility for the use of parasitic acid in the long term.
And what are some of the projects that EnviroTech is working on now, and where are you seeing the most benefit?
Currently, we're working with a couple of different facilities across the United States. Our biggest trial projects right now are at the Denver Metro Wastewater Plant in Denver, Colorado. They're one of the largest wastewater plants currently using parasitic acid for disinfection. And we have several others across the country of a smaller scale using our parasitic acid. The biggest places that are looking at PAA are places looking to get rid of neutralization. Because PAA is not a persistent chemical, you don't require any deactivation on the back end of the plant before release into the receiving stream.
And what kind of responses are you getting from people in these programs?
Honestly, most of our responses are fairly positive. The only holdups we really see are coming from the regulatory side of things. Because it is newer in this industry, people have a lot of questions because they're not very familiar with the technology. But more and more, as more people keep looking at it and more states keep approving it, that regulatory holdup is becoming less and less of a restriction.
So do you see this as a growth market going forward?
I do. I believe PAA is the disinfection for wastewater of the future. It's a very viable green alternative. There really aren't a lot of drawbacks, and there aren't a lot of facilities where it doesn't work. It's not a solve-all, be-all chemical, of course, but it does perform very well in a wide range of different applications.
Well, that's very exciting. And when you're talking to people at the municipal level, I imagine that trying to overcome that risk averseness they have is sometimes an obstacle for you.
Honestly, the operators are the ones pushing for it more so. Because it's an oxidant just like chlorine products are, they're already fairly familiar with how it should function in the system. The biggest concern I get from operators really comes down to cost. And when compared to most chlor-dechlor systems, PAA can be cost competitive and even cost beneficial.
So as you're seeing these PAA products and especially your own Permagreen products getting more exposure and more testing out in the field, where do you see the next step for this?
Honestly, the next step would be additional education from regulatory agencies, engineering firms, and chemical distributors looking to get into the market. The biggest holdup, I believe, in parasitic acid becoming a more widely accepted wastewater disinfection alternative is in the lack of knowledge about the product and getting more hands-on experience for all those people who make these decisions, who are in the wastewater industry and the boots on the ground. That will really be the biggest help going forward.
Well, we're happy to help get the word out for you. If people are interested in finding more about Peregrine or about EnviroTech Chemical Services, where can they find you online?
We can be found online at www.envirotech.com.
Well, Jacqueline, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today.
Thank you for having me, Jay. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Take care.
You too.
And the February edition of Modern Pumping Today is already in subscribers' hands. The issue starts off strong with a contribution from Mueller Water Products on how they addressed a critical issue for one of Argentina's hydropower plants. When it was faced with a repowering of generators, the resulting change in water pressure affected the valves used in their cooling, which was a vital function. Patricio Egan details the solutions in our case study section. On the other side of the globe, when the team responsible for the maintenance of the irrigation system at one of South Africa's premier golf courses was confronted with high levels of debris and pumps running dry, Vesconite Bearing stepped up to provide an answer. Charlie Simpson lines up the perfect shot for abrasive conditions in this issue's sealing solutions. If you're not a current subscriber, there's still time to sign up for a free 12-month subscription by visiting mptmag.com and clicking on that subscribe tab. As we're recording this, we just finished up our annual. We're recording this on Friday, the 21st. Richard and I just competed in our office's Friday morning golf tournament, which is not as exciting as it sounds because really it's just going onto the sales floor of the magazine and putting around the cubicles into little cups. How'd you do, Richard?
For standards in the office, I did not that great. But for those of you that are not here to witness the office golf, to you, I could have done really great.
That's true.
See, that's the thing. But see, it might not sound as fun through the podcast because they're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. But let's be honest. How many offices actually have office golf?
That's true. And the competition does get pretty hairy.
It does.
People take it way more seriously than they should, which is aggravating and also hilarious.
Yeah, there are some here in the office that put wagers on their performances. So
good luck to them.
Yeah.
By the time we finish recording today, we should know who the champion is. Maybe we'll update that in the show notes too.
Ooh, we should. We really should. Maybe. Ooh, you know what I really want? I want to get more people involved, and then we could have like a social media gathering group of office golf participants.
That's what
we should do. And then we could just compete for different things, like, you know, not money, because we're not going to give you money. But, you know, bragging rights.
We'll brag on ourselves regardless.
That's right.
No matter how we do.
Yeah.
This has been The Efficiency Point, a podcast from MPT Magazine. Follow us on Twitter at ModPumpMag for updates on our next episode. Today's episode was produced by Richard Council. And until next time, I'm your host, Jay Campbell. Thank you again for listening.